And we're back with the full story on WSHU. And now we're going to concentrate a bit on New York. We've been talking a lot about Connecticut, obviously. In just a few minutes, we're going to be speaking with Joe Shaw. We'll be talking about the first district congressional race. And also Karen DeWitt will be joining us. She is our Capitol reporter up in Albany, telling us about the New York gubernatorial race. But first, we spoke with Larry Levy the other day, and we're going to play that interview for you now. Joining us on The Full Story is Larry Levy. Larry, a well-known award-winning journalist, is now the executive dean at the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University. And among his many jobs, he explains to the rest of us what role the suburbs play in elections. Dean Levy, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, but call me Larry, please.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Larry, can we start with the congressional races in our listening area? That is the first, the second, the third, Republican Lee Zeldin in the first, Republican Peter King in the second, Democrat Tom Suozzi in the third. They're all trying to get reelected. How do the races look?
Well, we can dispense with the third really quick as a kind of an emblem of what the country looks like as a whole. It is a suburban district, but it is anything but a swing suburban district. It's one of those places between city and country that has gone fairly dark blue. Tom Suozzi, most people can't kind of remember who his opponent is. He should win handily. I don't like to take the crystal ball out. I think all of us were pretty much humbled in 2016 by that. But, the issue for Tom Suozzi is that if the Democrats take over the House, he zooms up in leadership positions because there would be a lot of freshmen beneath him. And he's a guy who has positioned himself to be a moderate, a middle-of-the-roader, a deal maker with all sides within his party and with the other side. He could be in a pretty good position. But in terms of winning and losing, that's a race that nobody nationally is spending a dime on.
Now we move over to the second, to Peter King. His race, at first people were saying, analysts were saying, it looked pretty safe, but recently it's moving a little bit.
Peter King's district on paper should be a real competitive get for the Democrats. But this is where paper kind of doesn't always tell the story. If there is a blue tsunami, Peter King would probably be the last Republican in a competitive district to be washed out to a political sea. And it's also a representative of the idea that all politics is local, as Tip O'Neill said, and is personal. Peter King has been around a long time, and he has gotten himself into trouble with progressives and with Democrats. And maybe even suburban women who just don't like the harshness of politics by calling out Muslims and Latinos over the years in ways that made a lot of people uncomfortable. But Peter King also, if you remember, was one of the few Republicans to vote against impeaching Bill Clinton. A lot of old unionists remember that he took some votes on their issues that very few other Republicans did. And local officials around here still talk about how helpful he was after 9/11 and after Hurricane Sandy. So Peter King has managed to carve out an independent identity for most voters.
Over in the first district, Republican Lee Zeldin is now in a bit of a battle with the Democrat Perry Gershon. And let me ask you this, if I could put it this way.
Sure.
Gershon recently said that President Trump is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Is that what it comes down to in the first district? Is it a race about Donald Trump?
Well, Perry Gershon is wrong. Donald Trump is the 1,000-pound gorilla. There is no local issue, even if politics are local. There is no personal image issue with any of the candidates that will have more of an impact overall than the popularity of Donald Trump. And Lee Zeldin's district, the first district, is an example of that. Zeldin made a decision that very few Republicans running in competitive swing suburban districts have done. Rather than distancing, he has tied himself tightly to Donald Trump. And it's a arguably defensible calculation in terms of politics, because the first district is one of very few suburban districts where Donald Trump's approval rating is above water. It's a district that Trump carried by large numbers against Hillary Clinton. I think Zeldin won himself by 15 points. So he said, you know, it's harder to subtract supporters than to gain them. And Perry Gershon's going to have to subtract a lot of supporters, particularly the more rabid Trump base that sees in Zeldin somebody who stood by their man.
Larry, as you know, our radio station has listeners both on Long Island and Connecticut. And for those who may not be so familiar with the impact that voters from Long Island have on all of New York State, spell it out for us, please, especially when it comes to the state Senate.
Well, Long Island should play an outsized role in determining whether the Democrats take over control of the state Senate. There are several competitive races that will determine who gets to bang that gavel up in Albany, along with the Democratic Assembly. It also goes to the whole issue of the suburbs writ large. Suburban voters in the country are the deciding vote for who controls Congress and who gets the keys to the White House. Suburbs generally in New York don't get to exercise that power in presidential elections because it's a blue state. But in statewide elections, places like Long Island, swing suburban communities do get to have a big say, particularly when things are close. And you couldn't have a closer race for control of the New York State Senate.
Larry Levy is the executive dean at the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University. Larry, we thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for giving me it.
And welcome back to the full story here on WSHU. Larry Levy was just talking in part about the first district on Long Island, and we want to spend a few more moments focusing just on that race. And to do that, we're going to spend a few minutes with Joe Shaw. Joe is the executive editor of the Press News Group, publishers of the Southampton Press, the East Hampton Press, and 27East.com. Joe, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, Ron. Thanks for having me.
So, tell me about Lee Zeldin. From everything I see and read, Congressman Zeldin has jumped in with both feet into the Trump pool. Has he? Is that what this race is all about, Donald Trump?
Well, it's really interesting. I think Mr. Levy really hit the nail on the head. I think 2 years ago, Lee Zeldin sort of had a choice to make, and I think he did. He was sort of carefully positioning himself, but he did push his chips in with the president, and it benefited him. Trump carried the first district. I actually carried Suffolk County by about, I believe it was 54 to 42. It wasn't close. And that's the biggest margin of victory either party has had in Suffolk County in, I think, 20 years. And Lee Zeldin has definitely connected himself with the president. He's gotten the president's endorsement. He has used a couple of key issues to tie himself closely, and one of them is the local battle against MS-13, which is a really significant issue in the western part of the 1st District in communities like Brentwood, which have suffered some horrific violence. But he has spoken at the White House on MS-13. He has brought the president into the 1st District a couple of times to make appearances on the subject. So, yeah, I mean, I do think this race, to a large degree, the two candidates, when they have come together on the campaign trail, the president has been the biggest part of the conversation, and Perry Gershon, the Democratic challenger, is certainly trying to push that narrative as much as possible, that this race is about the president as much as anything.
You and I listen and watch and read the same news reports. The Democrats are hoping, Larry, I believe, just called it they're hoping for a blue tsunami, as he put it. Other people simply say blue wave. Do you see a wave happening in the first, or maybe just a ripple?
Here's a couple of interesting things about the first district that I think it's worth pointing out. For years and years, dating back to George Hochbruckner, who was the representative from this district, and then Michael Forbes and Scrucci, this was a Republican district. But then for 12 years, Tim Bishop, who was a Southampton guy, was the Democrat, and he had this district for 12 consecutive years before Mr. Zeldin took the seat back from him. So it's been a district that swung hard both ways. I mean, it's really has sent a Democrat or a Republican on about equal amount of time over the last quarter century or so. And when you look at voter registration, it's almost identical between the Democrats and Republicans in Suffolk County. But what's more interesting is the number of blanks and independents is almost as big as the Democrats and the Republicans individually. So it's almost like three camps, and it's a battle. You know, can the blue wave strike? I think it's possible. And anecdotally, we held an event recently in Hampton Bays. We co-sponsored it with the League of Women Voters of the Hamptons and with a local organization from Hampton Bays. And it was the only public debate held on South Fork this time around. It was a late legislative session this year in October, and so Mr. Zeldin wasn't available as much. The turnout for that was significant. It was really, it was over, I would estimate the crowd. It filled the auditorium at the high school and into a spillover room, which makes it probably in the neighborhood of 400, 500, 600 people. And at least anecdotally, it was a strong turnout for Perry Gershon. And that was surprising because in those public events on the South Fork in the last couple of campaigns, Mr. Zeldin has been the candidate who has really brought the loud, huge crowds out to public events. And this was the first time that I've seen Democrats at an event like that had that kind of energy and may have outnumbered the Republicans. That's completely anecdotal, and I don't know whether that's just a sign of the local support because Mr. Gershon is from East Hampton and the event was held on the South Fork. So it's difficult to say, but this has been a district that has swung in both directions. So, you know, I think a lot of it is going to come down to who turns out to vote on Tuesday. It's that simple. It's just who casts ballots.
We have about a minute left. Larry was saying it before. All politics is local. Has Lee Zeldin done a good job in bringing home the bacon?
You know, it's really fascinating. We editorialized, we endorsed Mr. Gershon, but we pointed out in our editorial that Lee Zeldin actually is a very good congressman. He's represented this district well when it comes to local issues. He's very active. He's available. He's been there to provide a lot of help. It just is alarming to us as a newspaper that he has also been out there on some of these other issues at the national level that are pretty far to the right, to the point that we weren't comfortable endorsing him.
Joe Shaw is the executive editor of the Press News Group, publishers of the Southampton Press, the East Hampton Press, and 27East.com. Joe, thank you. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Oh, I appreciate it, too. Thanks, and congratulations on your show.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Let's go from the island now. Let's go upstate. Upstate New York, that is. Karen DeWitt is joining us. Karen is WSHU's Capitol reporter in Albany. Hi, Karen.
Hi, and I'm flattered to be on your inaugural program.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We only have a few minutes, and boy, I wish we had an hour. Andrew Cuomo is running for re-election. He's going against Republican Mark Molinaro. How do you see it?
Well, that's right. And as Larry and Joe mentioned earlier, this election really is about being a referendum on Trump. And Cuomo's made the election all about his opposition to Trump. He goes around in his fiery speeches saying New York will lead the resistance. And, you know, I think it's working for him because Trump is unpopular in New York with many New Yorkers. They're afraid of his policies. You know, the immigrant crackdown, dismantling of the Affordable Care Act, taking away possibly abortion rights. And another advantage for Cuomo, he doesn't have to talk about his record because right now the upstate economy is not doing well. New York has among the highest property taxes in the nation. That affects Long Islanders very keenly. 1 million people have left the state during the time Cuomo's been in office. And he's had some big corruption scandals. Several former aides and associates are going to prison. They were convicted this year on bribery and bid rigging over corruption in his economic development program. So Cuomo, keeping the focus on Trump, has really, you know, helped him avoid those topics. And right now the race has tightened according to polls, but he is 13 points ahead. of Mark Molinaro, a Dutchess County executive, relatively unknown, doesn't have a lot of money, a nice guy, but without the money that Cuomo's had, the governor's been able to define Molinaro as what he calls him a Trump mini-me. But Molinaro, in reality, is not even close to Trump. He didn't even vote for him.
So I put the TV on last night. Commercials all seem to be Andrew Cuomo versus Donald Trump. And I know you were just talking about that, but are we seeing the unofficial? Yeah, but are we seeing the unofficial start of a Cuomo for president run?
Yeah, I was just going to make a remark that people are saying, someone should tell Cuomo that Trump isn't on the ballot. But yeah, that's definitely the speculation that Andrew Cuomo could run in 2020. Certainly.
But he says he's not going to, right? He says, I'm going to be governor.
He did. He was pressed in the one and only debate. But, you know, I've seen politicians do this before, and I'm sure you have. They can say, well, I wasn't going to run, but there's just such a public clamor for me to run that I've changed my mind. So that he can wiggle out of that. I mean, I think he's keeping his options open. I've certainly covered him for the last 8 years. And sometimes it's kind of hard to puzzle out what exactly he's doing unless you put it in the framework of a presidential race. So, the belief is he would certainly likely do that. And why not? You know, New York governors can be in the running, although his name usually isn't mentioned in the top tier of candidates.
The primary challenge from Cynthia Nixon was pretty interesting. How did that change the dynamics of the race? Or did it?
Did because it kind of felt like after he beat Nixon 2-1, the race was kind of over because, as you probably know, there's fewer and fewer Republicans in New York State. Even Long Island, which used to be a Republican bastion, is now becoming much more Democratic. So the real race was, would Cuomo be, you know, really hurt or possibly even lose a challenge from the left? And once he won that by a 2-1 margin, it seemed like it was kind of clear sailing. And, you know, the governor hasn't really even campaigned all that much until the last couple of days doing some get-out-the-vote rallies. And as I said, he's mostly talked about Trump. He hasn't articulated what he would do for a third term, and he only participated in one debate. Although he was invited to several, he turned them all down.
All right, last question. There are other races going on in New York. Kirsten Gillibrand, the Democrat, junior senator, running for re-election. Her opponent, Shell Farley, running on the Republican ticket.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like much of a race. Gillibrand is so far ahead. She spent more of her time helping campaign for other candidates, so that isn't really a race. We do have an open seat for Attorney General, New York City Public Advocate Tish James is the Democrat. The Republican is a New York City private attorney, Keith Wofford. And then the state controller is also up, Tom DiNapoli, who is from Long Island. He's the incumbent. I think this will be his third time he's running for re-election, and he's facing a challenge from Republican Jonathan Trichter.
Karen DeWitt, WSHU's Capitol reporter in Albany. Karen, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it for our show. Thanks for joining us.